the Lamb of God in my place. Your blood poured out so my sin could be erased. It was my death that Jesus died, so that way I could be raised to life. And so this evening we want to say hallelujah for the Lamb of God. We're here to worship the perfect, spotless Lamb who was offered in our place for our sin. Because there is no celebration on Sunday if there is no sacrifice on Friday. Because my sin required blood to be spilt. The price of my iniquity could only be paid by death. So the only hope that any of us have in not having to pay that price ourselves is that a substitute be provided in our place. And we see a remarkably clear preview of what would take place at Calvary all the way back in Genesis chapter 22. We're going to look this evening at a well-known account from Abraham's life and see how it points us to the cross. And so if you have a Bible, or you can grab one right in front of you in the pew, you can turn to page 16 in that one, and that's where you will find Genesis 22 this evening. Genesis 22. By the time we get to the life of Abraham in Genesis, the need for a substitutional sacrifice for sin has been well established despite the sacrificial system in the law not yet being written. And the understanding of a substitute as a sacrifice for sin is what makes God's instructions to Abraham in the beginning of 22 so troubling, I believe, for many people. Look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." And if you're reading along, you should say, what kind of command is this? This is an unfathomable command. What God is telling Abraham to do here went against God's law. If you read through the Old Testament, you will see that child sacrifices are presented as incredibly evil and heinous and godless acts. And this is what animals were for. They were supposed to be a substitute. Sons don't belong on the altar. And this command to sacrifice Isaac makes even less sense knowing who Isaac was, because he was the child of the promise. God had showed up to Abraham when he and his wife Sarah were really old and told Abraham that he is going to make a great nation out of Abraham's descendants. There was only one problem with that promise. Abraham didn't have any descendants. He had none. His wife Sarah wasn't able to have children, And Abraham said, how are you going to do this? And God makes him a promise that as many of the stars of the sky, that's what your family is going to be like. Abraham went through periods of not understanding what God was saying. He ends up having a child with his wife's servant, and his name's Ishmael. And God tells him, that is not the child that I was talking about, Abraham. It's not going to be through a servant. It is going to be through your wife. And finally, as God promised, Sarah is able to conceive in her old age, and she gives birth to Isaac. And right before we get to Genesis 22 and Genesis 21, God reaffirms to Abraham that through Isaac, so not just any child, not just any heir, but through Isaac, this one shall your offspring be named. This is the one. This is the child that the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant depended on. This child can't die. It can't die. He can't die. R.C. Sproul said, all of redemptive history is invested in this promised child. And now God is telling Abraham to place Isaac on an altar. How do you explain that to your wife if you're Abraham? What do you possibly say to her to explain what is going on? Do you just tell her that you're taking your son camping for a weekend? What do you dare tell her what God has told you to do? Or do you just go? We're not given the answer to that question. This is what we know. Look at verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." So Abraham goes with his son on a long journey that wasn't long enough. It was a three-day journey, and it probably both felt like forever and not nearly long enough, knowing what waited at the end of their trip. The whole time, Abraham had to be wondering, did I really hear him right this time? Is it possible that I got this message wrong? Is this really what he wants me to do? How could I ever do this to my son? He looks up and he sees the mountain in the distance, and he tells the young men to stay and says, "After we worship, we will return to you." And many view this statement as an act of faith from Abraham, that he believed that both of them would come back to these men. Others are more skeptical, and they say, what else was Abraham supposed to say in that moment, right? I'll be back? Like, I don't, what? And so we're not sure if Abraham's expressing his faith or if he's just not being forthcoming about what God has told him to do yet. Look at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. There's a missing sacrifice. I'm not sure what mental age you put Isaac at as you picture this event unfolding, but I think it's important to know that in all likelihood, Isaac was not a small child. Most seem to believe that he was in his early teens, age-wise. Could have been as old as 20, but most put him in his early teens. He was strong enough to carry the wood for the sacrifice up the mountain for his elderly father. He also knew enough about sacrifices to realize that something was missing that day. So he asked his father, Abraham, a question that just must have pierced Abraham to the heart. Where's the lamb? What are we sacrificing today? And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb." Look at verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Abraham builds an altar. He places the wood on it, and then he has to turn to his son, his only son, whom he loves, the hope of the covenant, and he has to bind him. And there's nothing you can say to your son in that moment that makes it any better. The confusion and the sadness and the heartbreak of that moment had to be just indescribable. And by the way, I think it's important for us to know that I believe Isaac could have stopped this if he wanted to. I believe he easily could have defended himself. He could have run away. He was old enough to get away from Abraham, and Abraham was too old to stop him at this point. But instead, he allowed his father to follow God's instructions, as confusing as they were. And this is where I'm so thankful that the book of Hebrews is in the Bible. Because I don't know about you, but this situation doesn't sit well with me. It's so troubling. And any of you that have sons, you just think, this can't be right. They're like, this can't be good. This shouldn't be here. This shouldn't be in the Bible. And I'm so thankful that we have a window into Abraham's mind in this moment. The reason that Abraham was willing to carry out this command was because of his faith in the promises of God. Look on the screen at Hebrews 11 and what it shares with us. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. That's a quote from Genesis chapter 21, the chapter right before our passage today. Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Look at verse 19. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. So Abraham knew the promise. It had to be Isaac. There was no other son. And so in Abraham's mind, if God is telling me to sacrifice Isaac, then that must mean that he's going to raise him from the dead, because this is the child. This is the promise. And I believe that God keeps his promises, and he promised it would be Isaac. I wonder if that's what he's telling his son in this moment. I wonder if he's telling Isaac, my son, you are the child of promise. I don't know what God's purpose is in this, but I know a great nation is coming from you. And I'm sure that with tears in both of their eyes, anguish in his heart, he raises the knife to sacrifice his own son, whom he loves. Look at verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. There's another lamb. There's another lamb. And a lot of people struggle with the story of Abraham almost offering Isaac. And I understand, rightly so, how could a father even be willing to do that to his son? But I think it's important on this day that we recognize that what Abraham thought would happen that day is exactly what happened on Good Friday. The earth-shattering event that we remember today is the one where God the Father took God the Son, Jesus, the promised one, the ultimate hope of redemptive history, and he sacrificed him on the cross. The event in Genesis 22 took place on Mount Moriah, also known as Mount Zion, the place where Jerusalem was built. The same mountain that Isaac climbed, carrying the wood for the sacrifice that he would lay on, Jesus climbed, carrying the wood for the ultimate sacrifice, the cross that he would be laid on. 2,000 years after Genesis 22, God took his son, his only son, whom he loved, and he put Jesus on a vertical altar. And this time there was no other lamb caught in the thicket, because Jesus was the other lamb. He was the only sacrifice that was sufficient to pay for my sin and for your sin. And so God the Father raised the knife and thrust it through God the Son on that day. We don't know what Isaac said to his father on the day that they were on Mount Moriah, but we do know what Jesus said to God the Father. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? If Isaac had been sacrificed on that day, it wouldn't have done anyone any good. But because Jesus was the perfect, sinless, spotless lamb, his blood was sufficient to cover my sin and to cover your sin. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, because every human that has ever lived before and after Christ is hopelessly lost in their sin. We have all failed to value our Creator above everything else. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all gone our own way. Rather than honoring God and His Word, we value ourselves, our own wants, our own desires. We have chosen to live for our own selves rather than for the one who created us. And the penalty for our sin is death. Separation from the holy God of the universe, the author and sustainer of life. And there's nothing I could do to earn my way back to him. I could never be good enough. We all fall woefully short of his perfect standard, and so death was required. And the blood of animals could never be sufficient to pay the price of our debt in full. We needed a perfect substitute to pay the ultimate price. And that is why Jesus climbed up Calvary's hill. My sin cost Jesus his life. It cost him uninterrupted unity with the Father. It necessitated the perfect sacrificial lamb being treated as corrupt. It necessitated the innocent Savior being regarded as guilty. It meant wounds and bruises and lashes and collapsed lungs. It meant thorns crushing his skull, spike-sized holes in his hands and his feet, a spear-shaped piercing in his side, thousands of wooden splinters in his skinless back as every last breath caused excruciating pain, and that was the pain that I deserved. Jesus' blood poured out on the cross as payment to the justice of God for the sins that I had committed against him, because sin is expensive. And on Good Friday, Jesus paid the ultimate price to ransom you and I, to set us free from bondage of sin and the sentence of eternal judgment. He experienced a temporary death so you and I don't have to experience eternal death. The ultimate sacrifice was required for our sin, and today I want you to know that God has provided a lamb. So I'm not sure what your life experience has taught you about the love of God. But I want you to know tonight that God loves you so much, he didn't spare his own son to make a way for you and I to be part of his eternal family. God has provided a lamb for you, and his name is Jesus. Don't try to make yourself right with God on your own. You'll never be good enough. If you place your faith in Jesus' perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection that we'll celebrate on Sunday, all your sins will be forgiven because they were paid for by the blood of Jesus at the cross. At the cross, all of your debts can be paid. At the cross, all of your sins can be washed away. At the cross, your soul can find its place. Because our sin required death, and God has provided the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I pray tonight that you've placed your faith in the Lamb that God provided for you, to take the punishment that you deserved so that way you could be forgiven. Let me pray for us. God, it's hard for me to contemplate the great love that you must have for me and everyone else in this room, that you would be willing to offer your own son in our place on the altar. So God, I pray that tonight we would see the enormous cost of our sin, and we would see the enormous price that Jesus paid, so that way we can be free. So thank you for what you've accomplished, Jesus, at the cross. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.